We'll be reading from verse 15, Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. That's page 870 in the Bibles that are in the pews. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I've got a question for you. What would you ask? What would you ask? What would you ask for if you could pray for anything? What would you ask for if you could pray for anything? So pull out your bulletin. I want you to write it down on the back here. And if you're one of those who no longer carry pencils or pens, go ahead and pull your phone out and open up a little memo. Please put it in airplane mode so you're not distracted. But write down, if you could ask for anything, what would you do? What would you ask for? Now, some of you are looking at me like, Bob, really, there's something wrong with that question. Because you can. This isn't an if. This isn't a maybe sort of kind of. You can ask for anything. What would it be? What would you ask from God? Knowing that you can ask for anything. Now, I'm not talking about like a fantasy and no time travel. You can't. That's not one of the things you can write down. No superpowers. But what would you ask of God? What would you ask? This might be the thing that you're sort of shy or embarrassed to ask of him. But what is it? What would you ask? One of my friends, in fact, many of you met Danny Ortley. He was our worship leader at our first family camp several years ago. He's got a song and says, if I could only ask for one thing, his one thing was that my children would learn to walk in truth. So if you'd only answer one of my prayers, it would be that my children would walk in truth. For some of you, your one thing is physical healing. It's just, maybe it's for yourself, maybe it's for someone that you love. Your one thing, maybe you've prayed this in the past, but at some point you just stopped because you're not seeing it answered. What's something that you would ask? It might be an object. It might be an experience. It might be for an opportunity. Maybe it's something you hope for, but you've never prayed about. You can ask for anything. What is it? I hope you have it written down. See, I'm not asking you to think of God as a genie. Notice it's not three things. We're not doing that. But we're just, what is it that you would like to ask him? What would you pray for your husband or wife? Maybe it's for your child. Maybe it's for a brother or a sister. What is it? Is there something that you're not asking God for? See, we said a couple weeks ago that listening isn't easy, but it's possible. Last week we talked about seeing isn't always easy, but it is possible because God is someone who reveals himself. And this morning I want us to just reflect a little bit. Asking isn't always easy, is it? Some of us have lost our confidence that God really hears our prayers. And that if he hears, that he cares enough to listen. But again, we talked about that last week, that God is someone who sees, he's someone who hears, he's someone who is concerned, but still sometimes we hold back. So asking isn't always easy, but it is possible because God reveals himself in this way. So now I'm going to ask you to add one more prayer to your list that you've got started on the back of your bulletin or in your phones or wherever. What is, what would you ask from God for our church? What's something that you would ask of God for First Armenian Presbyterian Church? What is it? Maybe you've thought about this a lot. Maybe it's why you don't come every week. Maybe it is why you come every week. But what is it that you would ask from God for our church? Some of you expressed probably those prayers when you filled out the survey or when you thought about, well, when are we at our best? When is our church at our best? And it might be, pray for more people, okay. More people. What would you ask for our church? Maybe you're already praying it. Maybe it has to do with the relationships that go on in our church. Maybe it has to do with the leadership of our church. There's so many things that I'm guessing that reside in your hearts about First Armenian Presbyterian Church. What would you ask of God? Just take a second and write that down. And if you want to let me know what it is you're praying, I would love that. What do you want God to do for our church? See, we're looking at Paul's prayer this morning, to let it be sort of a model for us, to let it be maybe encouragement for what's on your heart and mind, saying, ooh, this is great. I'm actually praying in line with how Paul prayed for the Ephesians. So I hope you have your Bible still open in Ephesians 1. We're just going to take a quick look at the context. Paul speaks in verses 3 through 14 of the incredible blessing that God offers to his people. It started out, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given to us in the one he loves. See, the Father calls us to be his children. So we want to offer praise to God for that. This is the context. This is why you pray. This is why you come and you call him Father. Because in Christ, we're his children. When it says sonship, that's not a put down on women. That's actually an elevation. Sons and daughters have the same status. Sonship, that means they receive inheritance. That means they receive inheritance. So God, the Father, calls us to be his children. But if you keep reading, we realize that the Son redeems. It says that in him we have redemption. This is in Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth and all things on earth under Christ. So the Son redeems and offers forgiveness. Again, do you realize that you're welcome in the presence of God to pour out your heart to him? The Father has chosen you to be his child, and Christ has redeemed you and offers forgiveness for you. None of us need to carry the load of guilt on our backs. And maybe not on our backs, maybe it's in our souls. There is nothing that you need to carry. God is willing to offer forgiveness. But again, we know that God is not only Father, not only Son, but Holy Spirit as well. And Paul brings it all together, beginning in verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit seals us and guarantees our salvation. You and I are going to fail. You and I are going to fall short. But the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives gives us confidence that no, we will last until the end. So that's why we pray. That's what Paul says. For this reason, for all these reasons, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Don't stop giving thanks. Don't stop giving thanks. In our culture right now, it's sort of the thing to do, to be thankful, to be mindful. And even non-Christians are catching on that if we're thankful, our lives are different. We talked last week, if you're trying to concentrate, if you're trying to listen to someone, if you're trying to pay attention, you just start thinking about the reasons you're thankful for them. Other things fade away. When you start praying for someone, I know when you start praying for some people, you have a whole list of things that you lay out before God that you're not thankful for about them. I love how Paul starts it. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Imagine how your prayers would change for people if instead of criticizing them to God, you actually gave thanks for them. And I know for some of us, it's difficult for you to give thanks because you see all sorts of things. Some of us just wear our faults right out in front. But with a little work, you can actually find something to be thankful for most people. Not always easy, but it is possible. In their case, Paul gives thanks for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he also is thankful for their love for all God's people. Do you see how those two go together? The men's class is beginning to study James during Sunday school. And James is very insistent, don't talk to me about your faith if we don't see it lived out. Don't talk to me about your faith in Jesus. James even gets on our cases in our face about lots of words if if our actions don't show it. Don't tell each other, don't tell anybody that you love Jesus if you're not loving other people. John says it really strongly in his first letter that how can we say we love God whom we haven't seen if we don't love the people right in front of us? No, my faith is really strong. Just some of these people, though, they're so sinful. I mean, do you see how sinful they are? Do you know what they did? Let me tell you what they did. And really, that's where we're going to go with this. No. You have faith in Christ and love for God's people. I don't know about you, but many in the church do really well loving their non-Christian neighbor because they want to have a good witness to them. But in the church, and not necessarily in this particular church, but among Christians, we'll be really quick to criticize. We'll be really quick to point out what's wrong. Well, they don't believe everything right. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't fellowship with them. Do you see that body? He raises his hands. I don't know, it's hard for me to worship in this church. Oh, and we can come up with reasons why we won't love each other. But Paul says the way he knows that God has done such a great work in their lives is that he's heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all God's people. So you're going to pray for something for yourself. I'm asking you to pray for something about our church. But if you were going to not stop giving thanks for FAPC, what would it be? What would you thank God for about us? What is it that you would have to stop giving thanks for? I want to hear some. What are you thankful for about First Armenian Presbyterian Church? Say it really loudly so I'm not the only one who hears. Phil. Hey, little kids, this is great. Who else?
Praise band.
You love the praise band. You thank God for the praise band. Excellent. What else? What do you thank God for our church?
A place to worship.
Place to worship. Excellent. Keep going. Somebody else.
You.
Great. What else? What do you thank God for? Yes.
The leadership
in the church. Okay. Excellent. Thanking God for the leadership. Kinetic. Okay. You're learning the truth together. Anyone else?
I'm thankful for being here mostly my entire life and people in these pews going through life and death and prayer and life together. I can't imagine my life without all of you.
Amen. Why would you stop thanking God for that? He says, don't stop thinking. What else are you thankful for? Vera. See, there are relationships here. He says, I don't stop thanking God. Now, if we wanted to, we could say, okay, now what do you do? No, we're not going to go there. You can pray about those things, but let's make sure we're announcing to God, to each other. Let someone know what you're thankful for about FAPC. And what I want you to do is I want to ask you to do this every day. Would you take just a few moments to thank God for our church? Set an alarm. Maybe it's on your watch. Maybe it's on your phone. But just set a time that I am going to thank God for our church. Whatever it is, and you know, watch out, it may take you a little longer than 30 seconds, which is okay. Might be on your drive, don't close your eyes if it is on your drive, but you want to thank God for what he's doing. He says, I won't stop thanking God. And then beginning in verse 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He says, not only don't stop giving thanks, but keep asking. Paul says, I keep asking. Yeah, but God doesn't answer. Just keep asking. Keep asking from the one true God. Did you see? He's not talking about the universe. That's another thing you hear. Oh, I'm just thankful to the universe, and I'm just hoping that the universe conspires. No, it's not the universe. The universe is the creation. As amazing as the universe is, it is the creation of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask the same one who sent his one and only Son to be our Savior. That's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are asking the one who is wise enough to say no. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ said no to him. Do you remember that? He said no to him when? He said no in the garden to him. So this is not Santa. This is not a genie to whom we pray. This is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ who says yes when it is to the praise of his glory and for our good. And when he says no, it's so that he is accomplishing his will in your life, in my life, on planet Earth. This is the one to whom we pray. It is not a divine power. It is not the universal spirit. It is not the creator. It is not, yes, he is the creator. It is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ to whom we pray. And he has a very specific request. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. See, God's desire is that we know him better. Would that possibly qualify as something you could pray for FAPC? That we would be a community that knows God better? You know, one of the things I loved about last week, thinking about, you know, did you see the gorilla? Do you miss things? If we miss things that are right in front of us, how much are we missing about God? How much do we miss about him? He is at work in our lives, and I tell you, you know, last week I just needed to, if you walked over to the fellowship hall, you saw the huge water slide coming down, you saw the little kids in the wading pool, and you know what else you probably saw that I completely missed? Was the dunk tank. I literally preached to you about not missing what's right in front of you, and I walked right past the dunk tank, and I saw my nephew, and he goes, Uncle Greg, are you ready to get dunked? I said, yeah, where's the tank? He goes, it's right out front. I said, no, it's not. He goes, no, it is. I said, no, it's not. I saw the little kids. I saw the thing. He goes, come here, Uncle Greg. We walked out in front of the fellowship hall, and guess what was right there? The dunk tank. And some of the kids took advantage of that and made sure we got nice and wet. But we need someone else to point things out to us sometimes, just sort of right here in front of us. How much more do we need God to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know him better? And again, if you look at, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 11, there's sort of seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's not asking for you to get another Holy Spirit. Okay, he's not asking you to get another blessing from God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's asking that the Spirit's ministry of revealing God and giving us the wisdom how to live that out, he's asking that God would do it. He doesn't take for granted that even though we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, He doesn't take for granted that all the Spirit's work is going to happen in my life or your life. We need to ask on our behalf and on the behalf of others that God would reveal himself. You and I miss so much of who God is. See, we want to know God. We want to know God, and if it's going to happen, we need to keep on asking. We need to keep on asking because sometimes our hearts are just a little bit blind, aren't they? See, I knew a friend. It's a friend of my brother's who would go to Bible study with him. And this guy could quote the Bible. He knew the Bible so well. But he didn't trust Christ. Do you know that you could know the Bible? You could even do what I did with the kids and have a really good grip on it. But if it doesn't touch your heart, something is missing. If you can read the Bible and have no emotional reaction to it, something's missing. Something is missing. We are whole people. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't times when reading the Bible, it feels like you're reading the back of a cereal box or the side of the cereal box. And it sort of maybe tastes like some of these cereals. But we ask God, I keep on asking, Paul says, that he would give us a spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we could know him better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. I was just talking to someone yesterday and they said, you know, when I read my Bible, it just feels dead. I feel dead when I read the Bible. It doesn't do anything for me. And before you judge that person, just remember your own life. Has there never been a time when the Bible just seemed to be words on a page? And sometimes before you were done with the sentence, you forgot what was at the beginning. And you were even trying. Our God does not judge us. Our God invites us to do what? Ask me. Keep on asking that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. There is no shame when you don't understand something or when I can't seem to follow an argument or I can't quite seem to see how it applies to me. Ask. Keep on asking. Have other people ask for you. Would you please pray that God would open the eyes of, would he enlighten the eyes of my heart? No shame. The evil one would love for us to feel ashamed and to stop reading the Bible when it doesn't make sense. He would like nothing more than for you or I to say, you know what? You know, I know so-and-so, they love the Bible, and I just don't like it. He would love for you to stop right at that point. But instead of stopping, can we pray for each other? Can we encourage each other? Can we say, would you pray for me? I'll pray for you that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened because this is not enough. Now, some of you are really, really smart. Some of you know an awful lot. But if it's not penetrating here, we're missing it. We're missing it. And again, that's not to shame you. That's to say, let's pray. Let's keep on asking that we would know and understand. And real quickly, he gives three things to know and understand. It starts in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Okay, to know and understand the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. Hope is something that's coming. Are you looking forward to anything in your Christian life? I did three funerals between last Friday and the Friday before that. Three funerals. Do you know what I said every time in every funeral? That there is more to life than just this life. Do you have a hope for something beyond your death? The hope of our calling is that someday we are going to be made just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. I'm not going to be just Greg anymore. You are not going to be just you. You are going to be transformed. Our bodies are not going to be the aches and the pains and the limitations. We're going to get a new body. Do you have that hope? That's the hope of our calling. That, yes, I'm forgiven, but you know, there's a lot, I leave a wake of disaster behind me. The consequences of my sin that not only I experience, but you do too if you're close enough to me. But there is going to come a day that's going to all be gone. That's the hope of our calling. Do you know that? No, you don't. No, I don't. That's why we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we would know God better, that we would be able to know the hope of our calling. It's going to be so much better. One of our members right now, he is asking God hourly, maybe even it's minute by minute, that he could leave this life because he's in such pain. How do you do that if you don't have a hope?